It's time now to talk about getting into classrooms when you can't physically get into classrooms. So you have already learned about the high performance instructional leadership model for classroom walkthroughs, which we just went through. And we're going to talk now about how to modify that approach when school is happening virtually or when classes are happening in some sort of modified format. Because I think there are still some key things that need to happen in order for us to be impactful as instructional leaders. There are two key things that you need as a leader, regardless of the circumstances. More than anything else, you need, number one, relationships with the people that you work with. And number two, you need information for making decisions. You need information about student learning. You need information about teacher practice. You need information about teacher well-being, how your teachers are doing as people. You need information about changes that you might need to make as a manager slash instructional leader in order to effectively create the conditions for student learning. So relationships and information are essential for instructional leaders, even if you're not able to physically get into classrooms. So what I want to do now is give you an action plan for maximizing your impact regardless of the circumstances. First of all, if you can, get into classrooms as you normally would, as often as you can. If some classes are happening normally, perhaps just your kindergarten classes, or perhaps you just have a special education class that's meeting face-to-face right now and everybody else is virtual. Whatever you can do in person, do it. Put in the time, put in the effort to get into classrooms if you possibly can. And as that change, you know, as that unfolds, maybe you have more students who will be coming back on campus, continue to get into those classrooms and work them into your rotation. And then for any classrooms that you can't visit in person, maybe for different reasons, some classes will be happening virtually longer than others. I don't know what your setup is, but anytime you can't physically get into a classroom and see a teacher at work, what I want you to instead do is prioritize one-on-one conversations with that teacher. Pick up the phone, set up a time, talk with that teacher. And we'll talk more about what to discuss in those phone calls later on. But see that for now as your substitute. When you can't get into classrooms physically, pick up the phone and talk to that teacher. Those conversations are more critical than ever for maintaining relationships and getting the information that you need to do your job effectively. And I want the total of both of those two approaches, whatever mix you're able to do right now, to be 3 a day. Okay, so if you can get into some classrooms and not others, or if you can't get into any classrooms at all, you might be having all phone calls. It should be 3 a day total, though. Perhaps there are two people that you're calling and one person that you're visiting, or maybe it's different on different days of the week, but shoot for that target of 3 instructional leadership interactions a day. Now, what if they are virtual? What if they are just conversations and not actual classroom walkthroughs? Well, I think we need to think carefully about this. In order to maintain those relationships and gather that information, we need to have a thought through plan for having conversations one-on-one with teachers. And you know, if there's not an agenda, that can be a little bit awkward. If you just pick up the phone and call people, they can wonder, you know, what is this about? What can I do for you? What do you need from me? So we've got to have a little bit of an agenda, but we have to be the ones to reach out. As leaders, we can't just leave it to teachers to say, well, you know, I need to talk to my administrator, then I'll make an appointment and pick up the phone. That is not going to happen very much. You know, if people have to feel like talking to us, if they have to seek us out, we may never talk to some people, and we may talk to other people every single day. So we've got to be the ones who design this process and say, okay, every day I'm going to talk to 3 people, whether I can get into their classroom or not, I'm going to talk to 3 people every single day. And I think if we use the same approach, whether it's in person or virtual, then we can maintain those relationships and gather that information. And we can organize those into cycles, which we'll talk about as we go along. So a couple of tips for those conversations. Again, if you're not able to get into classrooms, I recommend that you not try to set up another video conference. Don't get on your video software, whatever that is, whatever platform you use, and try to meet with them on camera. Instead, I want to challenge you to actually pick up the old-fashioned telephone. make an appointment, you know, set up some sort of online scheduling system so people can let you know when they're available, right? You don't want to interrupt them during dinner or when they're trying to work with their students. So set up a time, send out your calendar link if you use something like Calendly or Schedule Once. Have people schedule a time with you on the day that they're on your list where they can actually speak with you, but on the phone. People will appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, not on video. Trust me on this. They will love the opportunity to just have a phone call and not have to have their professional attire on. Maybe you're having to speak with them after school hours because they're busy during the day or you're busy during the day. Find a time to connect with them that works for them. Pick up the phone, have an agenda, and we'll talk more about that agenda later on, and let people know why you want to speak with them. And Keep it up. Stick with that plan. Follow it through until you've spoken with everyone. Now, that is going to be difficult. It's going to be easier to speak to some people and skip others. So what I want to challenge you to do is manage this, keep track of it the same way you would with classroom walkthroughs. If you're using our repertoire app, you can put teachers on the same rotation, whether you're talking to them on the phone or visiting their classroom. So certainly use the repertoire app if you're set up with that. And if you're a member and you're not set up with that, we'd be happy to get you going with repertoire. Or you can just use note cards. You can print out our note cards template at principalcenter.com/notecards-pdf. You need one note card per teacher. Simply write the teacher's name at the top, and then you can write the schedule. And then in the date columns, anytime you visit a classroom during that subject, you can put the date next to that subject. Or if you just have a phone call, you could write phone call down as one of the periods or subjects, and you could list the dates of your phone calls. And this will help you keep track over time of whom you've spoken with and when, and whether that was a face-to-face observation in a particular class or whether it was a phone call. But keep track. However you do it, keep track so that you don't miss anyone and so that you continue to maintain those relationships and gather the information you need about teacher practice and student learning. Now, let's talk about how to organize this into cycles. Now, in the book, Now We're Talking, I recommend that you think in terms of three cycles, and we have several chapters on those different cycles that are organized throughout the book. In chapter 20, we talk about choosing an instructional focus, and we talk about your first, second, and third cycle. I don't know where you are in your school year by the time you're watching this. You may have already been getting into classrooms, and then maybe school went virtual for a while, or maybe you started virtually and you haven't really been able to do much yet. In your first cycle, you want to break the ice, right? Because whatever you do the first time, it's going to be a little bit awkward. People may be unaccustomed to having you present in their classroom or unaccustomed to speaking with you on a regular basis. And we just want to get started on the right foot. And we want to be what I call present and pleasant so that people get used to it and you start to develop a habit and it's not so uncomfortable that you decide you don't want to do it anymore. So the first cycle, don't worry about giving any earth-shattering feedback that's going to change, you know, people's practice forever. Just, you know, be present and pleasant, get moving, take action, get yourself going into the habit. In your second cycle, you want to start to pay a little bit closer attention. You want to start to share what you're noticing. But most importantly, you want to build that momentum and continue following through. So if you're able to get into classrooms, keep getting into classrooms. This would be your second tour through every classroom. If you're just making phone calls, this would be your second phone call to check in with each teacher. But keep going. And then in your third cycle, that's where you're going to start to get a little bit more serious. And again, if you're visiting classrooms in person, you would follow all seven characteristics of the high performance instructional leadership model in your third cycle and beyond, but not worry about them so much in your first two cycles. If you're just doing phone calls, then this is where you want to start to follow through. You know, take some notes, ask better questions, ask tougher questions, you know, really get people thinking. And show that you're in this for the long haul and you're going to continue to show up for people as an instructional leader. So that's how you can approach your first three cycles, but don't let that kind of long-term vision intimidate you. Don't let that idea of having 500 of these interactions in a single school year intimidate you. Three a day is all it takes, and all you have to do for now is just get started. Pick up the phone, send out an email, send somebody a text, whatever you need to do to connect with your staff and maintain those relationships and start to gather the information that you need. So that brings us to the end of module one, and it brings us to our module one action challenge. I would like to challenge you now to complete a cycle of classroom visits or one-on-one conversations or whatever combination you're able to manage, but reach out, get in touch with every single teacher that you supervise. Now, if you're in a large school and you have maybe 100 teachers and 3 or 4 administrators, just focus on the teachers that you personally supervise and evaluate, but connect with everyone. And then I want to hear from you. And you can write to me directly, justin@principalcenter.com. You can reply in our community. You can send a tweet, tweet publicly what your experience connecting with teachers in this way has been. You can tag me at @eduleadership, and I would love to know how it goes for you. But go ahead and connect with teachers, get into classrooms or pick up the phone and complete that cycle of one-on-one conversations with each teacher and share your results. And then for now, in your journal to help you get started, I want you to make some notes to yourself about what your very next step is. Do you need to set up a Calendly? Do you need to send out an email and invite people to book a call with you? What is your very next step for getting into classrooms or having those one-on-one conversations with teachers? And then think through your agenda a little bit. What is your purpose for this next cycle? Maybe you've already kind of broken the ice and built some momentum, but maybe things have changed. What purposes do you need to accomplish in these one-on-one conversations with teachers? And then in your next couple of cycles, where do you want to go with this? How do you want to build on that momentum and have more serious and more impactful conversations as you go along? Make some notes in your journal, and when you've done that, congratulations, you have finished Module 1 of the Virtual Instructional Leadership Challenge. I'm Justin Bader with the Principal Center, and I will see you in Module 2.